where pro-Russian rebels are fighting government forces. Moscow warned against any attempt to disrupt the convoy, but did not specify what action it was prepared to take if Kiev's forces intervened. This is IRN USA Radio.
The folks who care at the Platteville Public Library remind parents, this back-to-school season, prepare your kids the right way by boning up on their reading and studying skills. By doing so, you give them a fighting chance at success, so help your child succeed and prepare them for back-to-school properly. That's from the Platteville Public Library, because they care about your child's education. For more information on study and reading programs for your kids, call 785-2231 and get your kids properly prepared for back-to-school. As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Grace Cafe in Ault, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Ault. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Grace Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Ault, on the air because they care. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Andrew, why don't you pick up the story and tell us what are we going to be talking about and analyzing this morning?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, this morning the top story is a follow-up on the Ferguson riots, the militarization of police on display. Joel says, the Ferguson, Missouri riots continue this week despite the increased police and now National Guard presence there. These violent demonstrations bear many similarities to the 1992 Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. In both cases, there are aggressive and sometimes brutal police confrontations with black majorities, who, as a group, have been guilty of many crimes, but who didn't deserve the brutal treatment they received at the hands of police. In both cities, long and deeply held resentment flared up, causing public protests. Criminals and malcontents took advantage of the situation to rush into the melee and begin looting, which in many cases was not properly restrained by police. So what is different in the Ferguson case is that the local police have now become extremely militarized and reveal all the bravado and aggressive behavior that such equipment induces. This time around, the police have been more aggressive than before, especially against journalists who had cameras rolling. Finally, the national public is getting to see what the purposefully misguided policy of giving away billions in military equipment to police has done to America. A CNN photographer recently snapped a picture of 12 police in full combat military gear, including Kevlar helmets, eye guards, gas masks, combat boots, camouflaged uniforms, bulletproof vests bulging with ammo pouches, military knee pads, and automatic rifles with laser sights, all pointed at one unarmed black demonstrator with his arms in the air. Is that too much or what? First of all, it's a known bad policy to go around pointing loaded weapons at people unless they are armed and present a serious threat. But this is what journalists see all the time in Ferguson. Amateur military wannabes running around pointing their weapons at civilians as they are going through a building as if under fire, like everyone sees in the movies. This Rambo-style macho police force is just looking for another accident to happen. Militarization of police, the real problem. Joel says, more and more small-town police forces are acquiring MRAP vehicles at no cost from the government, which tear up the streets and which are costly to operate. With no mines or IEDs in Ferguson, who needs an 8-ton mine-resistant vehicle? I'm not even buying the story that these were surplus from Iraq. They all look almost brand new. I think the U.S. overbought thousands of these with a specific intent of flooding local police departments with military equipment. SWAT teams now have heavily armored personnel carriers. And for what? Are the local police going to war? But even if they get this stuff for free from the feds, what are they going to do with this equipment? I'll tell you where this always leads. The local sheriff or police is going to demand funding to train people on the equipment, and that means training a militarized support team, too. So now instead of patrolling the streets, every policeman is taking time off to go out of state to be trained to play soldier and then come home all gung-ho and itching to use this stuff in battle. Another recipe for disaster. That is why I continue to warn, Joel says, forget about foreign troops in the U.S. The government is militarizing local police with the intent of using this military equipment on its own citizens someday, and Ferguson is just the kind of justification all small towns need to get on board. Trouble is, it backfired. There's now a public backlash brewing against the extreme militarization. One congressman from Georgia is introducing a bill to demilitarize, at least partially, the police. Here's the story from TheHill.com. Quote, Representative Hank Johnson is pushing the legislation amid the situation in Ferguson, Missouri. Quote, our main street should be a place for business, families, and relaxation, not tanks and M16s. As the tragedy in Missouri unfolds, one thing is clear. Our local police are becoming militarized, end quote, Johnson's office said in a statement. The images coming out of Ferguson, which President Obama on Thursday called deeply disturbing, have spurred comparisons with a war zone, with heavily armed police officers pointing weapons at protesters. Some of the protesters have reportedly thrown Molotov cocktails at police. Is this a war zone or a U.S. city? Representative Justin Amash, a Republican from Michigan, tweeted Wednesday evening. As reports emerged of police using smoke bombs and tear gas to disperse crowds, Johnson criticized the Pentagon's 1033 program, which offers surplus military equipment to state and local enforcement, law enforcement, including M16 rifles and mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, MRAP. He noted in the last several months, those vehicles have been given to cities in Texas, Idaho, Indiana, Minnesota, New York, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arizona, Illinois, and Alabama. This trend is not only sweeping America's small cities, it's hitting American college campuses as well. Ohio State University recently acquired an MRAP, he said. Apparently, college kids are getting too rowdy. Johnson said his bill would limit the type of equipment that could be transferred and would make sure states track all equipment received. Joel said, well, that won't do much. Continuing the quote, Ferguson Police Chief Thomas Jackson on Thursday pushed back on criticism of the police response. Quote, it's not military, it's tactical operations, it's SWAT team. That's who's out there. Police, we're doing this in blue, end quote. Joel says, this is doubtful considering all the camouflage and press pictures and the minimal National Guard presence. Ferguson Mayor James Knowles similarly defended police conduct, telling MSNBC he could not, quote, unquote, second-guess these officers. Joel says, the same lame statement the courts use to excuse themselves from reining in bad police conduct. This is not about, quote-unquote, second-guessing. It's about judging their conduct. And if the chief won't judge and the courts won't judge, this permissive behavior is tempting a defensive response from the public. Continuing the quote, lawmakers aren't convinced and are increasingly sounding the alarm that the new firepower being wielded by police departments. Senator Rand Paul, a representative from Kentucky, a contender for the GOP nomination in 2016, on Thursday, penned an op-ed for Time magazine blaming Washington for, quote, using federal dollars to help municipal governments build what are essentially small armies, end quote. There is a legitimate role for the police to keep the peace, but there should be a surprising difference between a police response and a military response, Paul wrote. Not surprisingly, big government has been at the heart of the problem, end of the quote. Joel says, sadly, it's more than a big government agenda. This is a globalist agenda to eventually take down armed dissent in the U.S. That is partly why all this militarization of police is taking place. For example, SWAT raids are no longer the option of last resort. Almost 80% of
all those thoughts. All those thoughts. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Scott.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah, Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
As our children return to school, it's vital that we offer the guidance they deserve. Open communication is the only way to win the war against drugs and violence. Parents, talk to your kids and help them to make better decisions for themselves. That's from Grace Cafe in Holt, inviting you to come and get it. Whether you're barely hungry or hungry as a bear, stop by Grace Cafe at 200 East 1st Street in Holt. It's a great place for great food and a good time. Grace Cafe, 200 East 1st Street in Holt, on the air because they care. Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cajun Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
Dad, just this morning, Andrew Skousen covering what's going on in Ferguson as they militarize our police all across America. Why are they militarizing our police? Why did they buy 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition? Why are they giving automatic rifles to our police? Why suddenly they laid in massive food supplies for the Office of Homeland Security? Why have they developed all sorts of underground facilities, over 100 of them, where people could go and live for 6 months to a year? Why did they establish the Doomsday Seed Bank 600 miles from the North Pole so they'd have seeds to be able to utilize when they start in all over again? What is it that the elite know about what's going to be happening that they have concealed from the American people? Right now, go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, Joe says, sadly, it's more than a big government agenda. It's a globalist agenda to eventually take down armed dissent in the U.S., all the police and militarization. For example, SWAT raids are no longer the option of last resort. Almost 80% of all SWAT team deployments are for executing search warrants for drug use. And most of the time, those warrants aren't even presented during the raid. SWAT teams are trained to cower the victims into gun-pointed silence so that no one dares challenge them. Once you pay to arm and train SWAT teams, police are going to plan to use them. And the training emphasizes aggressive weapon-pointing behavior, since there is always a presumption that SWAT is used against highly armed threats. Hardly ever do the SWAT teams encounter highly armed opponents anymore. Most are simply people involved in drugs who are more victimized by the brutality of police than by their own stupidity. Police get more militaristic and violent in proportion to the military equipment they are given and how they are trained. I think this was the plan from the very beginning. Forget about mass indoctrination of police. You just have to gift them tons of military equipment, train them to use it, and then gin up false domestic terror threats to convince them that patriotic citizens are the enemy. And voila, you suddenly have trigger-happy cops with a Rambo syndrome. While you can't lure most patriots into confronting police, law enforcement can still get their training with minorities in racially sensitive areas like St. Louis, New York, and L.A. But this training of cracking down on protesters will be used in earnest against globalist dissenters someday. Increasingly, police are being trained formally to brook no objections from people they confront, even at traffic stops. This "don't challenge me" attitude was on display front and center in a Washington Post editorial by a career policeman this week, and the reaction to it has been understandably negative. It was written by a pompous comp who has seen enough rank to think he is God. Quote, "Even though it might sound harsh and impolitic, here is the bottom line," says the policeman. "If you don't want to get shot, tased, pepper sprayed, struck with baton, or thrown to the ground, just do what I tell you. Don't argue with me. Don't call me names. Don't tell me that I can't stop you. Don't say I'm a racist pig. Don't threaten that you'll sue me and take away my badge. Don't scream at me that you pay my salary. And don't even think of aggressively walking towards me." End quote. Joel says, "This aggressive, everything I demand is right attitude is sadly increasingly common with police. I like Associate News reporter Larry Womack's response best from the Huffington Post, who says, quote, "I'm an American citizen. If you want to remain a cop, don't violate my human rights," end quote. Joel says, "That is exactly right, and I would add, don't violate my rights, and if you do, I'm allowed to tell you so without expecting you to get aggressive or violent." Continuing the Huffington Post quote. The officer who wrote that claims to have worked in internal affairs, but that's a little difficult to swallow. Joel inserts, "Not for me. The cop knows about police mistakes and plays them down in his eagerness to push his readers into abject compliance." Huffington Post continues, "After all, a man who knew that police officers will regularly produce badges before raping sex workers or that over 10% of juvenile inmates report being abused by jailers would know better than to make a statement like, 'If you don't want to get shot, tased, pepper sprayed, struck with baton, or thrown to the ground, just do what I tell you.' But this idea that cops get to say when and where constitutional rights apply is so very deeply misguided that I am shocked anyone could type it out without coming to their senses mid-sentence. After all, if you want to get kicked off of jury duty, the fastest way is just to say, 'If the cops arrested her, she must have been doing something wrong.' Our entire system of criminal justice is built around the idea that law enforcement officers are imperfect. There's an experience I think every reporter has had, at least once. You are filming or photographing something in public, and a police officer demands that you stop. It is not a request. It is a demand made with some show of force. On the second demand, as if by training, they usually indicate that they are explicitly ordering you to stop. A deputy sheriff once sped his SUV, parked about 20 feet away, toward me as a means of punctuating an order. I had to jump out of its path. He or she will likely threaten to take your camera or arrest you. Still, I've been threatened by police officers for doing my job on 4 occasions. In each of those cases, the police officer backed down after being calmly informed that he was a public person in a public space with no reasonable expectation of privacy. You know, stuff he should already know. I've been lucky, I suppose." Joel says, "Not really, it's because of this." Continuing the quote, And I knew each time that the only reason I wasn't being arrested was because I came across as the type of person with means of recourse." Joel says, meaning a journalist who can make his police chief look bad in print. Continuing the quote, "What has always troubled me about these incidents, if you can believe it, is the inescapable impression that officers really believe they have the right to issue these orders under threat of arrest. As if a law meant to allow cops to direct traffic somehow trumps the Bill of Rights. First Amendment? Fourth Amendment? They don't need no stinking constitution. They have guns and handcuffs." In Ferguson last week, reporters for the Washington Post and Huffington Post were arrested, essentially for being inside a McDonald's. When the police chief learned of the arrest, he blamed an officer who, quote, "didn't know better," end quote. Didn't know better than to arrest someone who wasn't committing a crime, or didn't know better than to arrest a reporter? False arrest, it seems, only happens to people of means, end quote. This week it was even worse, Joel says. In Ferguson, Missouri, there was shocking video footage showing a police officer pointing his gun directly at protesters and press while remarking, "I'm going to expletive kill you." This, continuing the quote, what do we do when cops show they can't handle their demands of their job? Do we educate them? No. We arm them. Because bad decisions are made so much better with deadly weapons. Police in New Mexico, Oklahoma, and South Carolina are being gifted mine-resistant, ambush-protected armored vehicles, as if they need and are prepared to use them. What in the blank is a cop in Oklahoma going to do with an MRAP but overreact? Landmines are not a big problem in Tulsa. In the United States, however, we are currently left with a deadly mix of peaceful protests, violent agitators, and overarmed cops enacting the scene of a government at war with its people. A cop shot the suspect in a $50 cigar heist 6 times, and law enforcement's response has been tear gas, batons, and bullets. Plain soldier. So forgive me if I have a hard time accepting it when a cop cries that the real problem is the challenge to his authority. End quote. What Womack describes is an egregious example of everything that's wrong with modern police attitudes. Don't even think about challenging me, with the assumption that police would never be guilty of requiring anything improper. Nothing could be further from the truth. The police are always demanding performance that is unconstitutional and take the most aggressive stance against those who challenge that authority on constitutional grounds. It doesn't help that Eric Holder, the corrupt Attorney General for the Obama administration, is in town massaging the crowd and claiming to do a federal investigation. What the administration is doing is merely grandstanding for political purposes. Yes, there is a need for a federal investigation, but bad cops and bad police chiefs never get sent to jail. There is indeed past evidence of racial prejudice and minority badmouthing in the St. Louis County Police Force. A Lieutenant Patrick Hayes was fired for pushing the idea of let's arrest more blacks and have a more colorful jail cell. To be fair, there is some justification for the high rate of arrest and search of persons of color in this area. While the racial makeup of Ferguson is constantly reported to only be 63% black, minorities of color account for 93% of all arrests, 86% of all police stops, and 92% of police searches. In point of fact, poor black communities do have a higher percentage of crime and social problems. Very few marriages remain intact, and delinquency among black teens in public schools is rampant. So is welfareism, bad language, poor health standards, alcoholism, and drugs. Class judgments are inevitable when you have a base population with chronic bad judgments. There are exceptions, of course, but it takes discipline and sensitivity to see past the group and judge each person as an individual. When I look through the videos and see the local police chiefs and cops expressing their southern macho, bring it on, bravado, I am not impressed that the mostly white police force is doing a proper job of being careful. It's just too easy to get into bad habits of insensitivity and aggressiveness when confronted with a mass of problems humanity. One of the most disturbing aspects of this week's riot was that police apparently stood down and refused to intervene to protect property owners whose stores were being looted. Here's Michael Snyder with the details. Quote, according to eyewitnesses, police vehicles were seen driving by some of the stores while they were being looted, and they did not respond. If the police are not even going to lift a finger to stop rampant theft, then what in the world are they there for? Why don't they just pack up and leave the streets completely? If they are just there to confront protesters and arrest journalists, all they are accomplishing is inflaming the situation. And this is what we can expect when civil unrest spreads to more cities throughout America? Will we not be able to depend on the police to protect our homes and our businesses? What I'm about to share with you are excerpts from mainstream news reports about how the police did nothing to stop the looting. To me, this stand down by the police is one of the most disturbing aspects of the Ferguson riots so far. This first excerpt is from USA Today. During the night, buildings burned, windows shattered, and chaos ensued as protesters stood in the street criticizing police. Officers threatened to arrest protesters who came near their trucks. Yet authorities did not attempt to stop any looting as citizens moved to protect local businesses from sporadic theft. The next excerpt is from the local Fox affiliate in St. Louis. Police presence is in question after St. Louis County and Missouri State Highway Patrol officers left the scene at Ferguson once looters began attacking businesses overnight. Protesters believe the media has started to confuse the difference between themselves and the looters. And this last excerpt is from Fox News. A reporter from the station tweeted that police cars were seen driving past some of the stores being looted and did not respond. It rained in Ferguson Friday night, and protesters could be seen outside until 6 a.m. Two store owners standing outside their business holding guns told Fox2Now.com that when they called 911, they were sent from one police agency to another and got no response. One of the owners with a large black gun resting on his shoulder told the station that police were lined up blocks from the looting and did not engage looters, making off with large boxes from these stores. "There's no police," he said. "We trusted the police to keep it peaceful. They didn't do their job." Why did the police in Ferguson refuse to do their job? Who told them to stand down? Someone in the mainstream media needs to start asking some of these hard questions. As the streets of Ferguson have descended into anarchy, business owners have been forced to take matters into their own hands. End quote. This also happened in the L.A. Rodney King riot, where extensive looting took place. Joel says, "I find it unconscionable that police take such aggressive and armed measures against largely peaceful protesters and journalists, and yet fail to arrest outright looters. The bottom line is that you can't depend on police to protect you, and that's partly why we have the Second Amendment. Most of the violence was caused by out-of-town criminals taking advantage of the unrest. Mark Lamont Hill of CNN reported, quote, "In the second dimension here that I see, there's a small group of people who are doing something different and out of step from everyone else. They're out-of-towners. The ones I spoke to are actually from Oakland. I saw them last night past curfew. I saw them this morning, and they are the ones who initiate violence." End quote. There are some on the net relying on a so-called DHS insider, Department of Homeland Security, who was saying that all this was planned and provoked by Homeland Security in order to justify declaring...
Hold the thought, and we'll be back in a moment with Andrew.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Protecting our environment is everyone's responsibility, and Colorado manufacturers take that obligation seriously. We're working hard to be responsible members of our community, while at the same time helping to grow our economy and create new jobs. But now, politicians and special interests in Washington are trying to impose unrealistic new ozone regulations on Coloradans that will do little to improve our environment. What they will do is put a stop to all the economic progress we've worked so hard to achieve, causing almost 25,000 job losses losses every year and costing over $1 billion more just to drive our cars and trucks over the next 23 years. Letting Washington bureaucrats run our energy policy is not responsible government, and it's not why Colorado sent Senator Mark Udall to Washington. Call Senator Mark Udall today at 303-650-7820. Tell him to stand up for Colorado manufacturing and say no to unrealistic and costly new energy regulations. Paid for by the National Association of Manufacturers.
Well, this morning, Andrew Scott, just before we go on, Andrew, will you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad and get the World Affairs Brief, and then how they can get his book? That to suggest, you know, what you can do if things really get bad. We need some place to go. And, of course, your dad has written a number of books on the secure home and strategic relocation. So the thought that people who are living in the large cities should have an alternative to go to when things get bad. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of if, but when. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. I've been at this for 52 years, and I really am firmly convinced that we are about to move into an entirely different society than we've had in the past, where simply peace and tranquility and security will become a remembrance of things past. So right ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. We appreciate your work. If people would like to read the World Affairs Brief in its entirety each week, they can go to worldaffairsbrief.com, and there's a large button for signing up for the World Affairs Brief. You create a quick account, and then you can have access to all of the past World Affairs Briefs. It's a modest fee. It turns out to be less than $1 per brief for a year subscription. Also, on worldaffairsbrief.com, there's a link to our other website, joelskousen.com. Joelskousen.com has the listing and description of all of Joel's work. The foremost is strategic relocation, which highlights what we see are the biggest threats facing us and then how to relocate around them. It has locations all around the U.S., not just in the mountainous areas of the U.S., and gives recommendations for people even on the East Coast for a little bit better security, even though we do recommend the Intermountain West. They can also, once people have a retreat site worked out for themselves, they should probably get one of Joel's other two books. The Secure Home is a large 700-page book that highlights everything about how to secure a home and residence and property. It includes how to build a secure shelter in the house, as well as outfitting it with alternate energy equipment for when power grid is out for long periods, which we expect to happen. If people are just going to renovate an existing house, they should probably get our smaller book, The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. This booklet has complete maps and details for the do-it-yourselfer so that people in the privacy of their own home can build a small, secure room out of cinder block and concrete, or even just harden a closet in the master bedroom or master area to have an extra layer of protection wherever they are at if people cannot move. All of these books are available at joelskousen.com, but if you would like to call and order those, you should call Radio Liberty. Right, Dr. Sam?
At 1-800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. We recommend the book, and we recommend that people begin making preparations for the very difficult times that are coming. So right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, there are some people on the net who have been relying on a so-called Department of Homeland Security insider who is supposedly revealing that all these riots in Ferguson, Missouri, have been planned and provoked by Homeland Security in order to justify declaring martial law. While we know the government has used many agent provocateurs before, I don't see the role of these riots as projecting a much larger excuse for martial law. Besides, I've never believed these so-called DHS insiders, Joel says, and their disinformation, which has always been wrong. Nobody inside government can reveal these things to talk show hosts on the right without being caught by the NSA's all-seeing eye. unless they are permitted to do so because it's bogus or partially so. Besides, what good would declaring martial law do if it was only limited to this riot-torn area? It wouldn't justify anything further by government, and it wouldn't have altered events there much, either. The curfew showed how ineffective that was. Now for the larger question of, was the shooting of Michael Brown justified? This last section is the crux of the controversy now. Whether or not Michael Brown stole cigars beforehand, had a long rap sheet, and assaulted the officer in a violent manner to justify being stopped and eventually shot. Before examining the evidence, it is important to point out that the police have been exhibiting some strange behavior in releasing damaging leaks about Brown's past, each and every time they release information the public is demanding. For example, the police chief is continually downplaying the number of shots fired. He claimed a couple of shots, or maybe a few more, when asked at a news conference. Two different agencies demanded different autopsies, and both came up with Brown being hit 6 times. From witness accounts, it sounds like there were even more shots fired. The friend who was with Brown says Brown was shot while walking away from the policeman first, and then turned around to confront the officer. The autopsy showed there was one shot from back to front in the forearm, but at this point it is impossible to know if that was done while he was walking away or when he had his hands up facing the police. Either way, such a shot was unjustified. There was also a shot to the top of the head, the last and fatal one, according to witnesses and the coroner, indicating that he was shot going down, also evidence of excessive force. Much has been made of his altercation at the store, where it is alleged he stole a box of cigars. This is now disputed as no charges were filed against Brown's accomplice, and the video also shows Brown putting money on the counter before grabbing the cigar. We have a link in the brief to an analysis by William Griggs. But the most important part of the robbery story is that the police went out of their way to secure copies of that video on the day they released the name of the officer, obviously trying to predispose the crowd to Brown's negative character as a bully. That is particularly bad ethics on the part of the police chief, because he already knew that the officer, Darren Wilson, had not received and was not acting on the 911 call by a customer in the store. The shop employee did not call 911 or report it as a crime. But the next leak was far more damning about Brown, if true. I'll discuss the problems with the story after you read it, but the listing of Michael Brown's prior arrests, the rap sheet, and convictions proved the anonymous leaker must have been from the police, since nobody else could have access to this information. Neither would anyone outside law enforcement know what the other witnesses in the complex stated, especially since these witness statements have not been made directly to any news station. This is a quote. That so-called kid has a rap sheet a mile long already. This quote is by a person who called into a local talk radio show, and the rap sheet was posted online by an anonymous source. Quote, the so-called kid has a rap sheet a mile long already. Did you know that the unarmed teen was 6'3" and 300 pounds? Or that according to witnesses in the complex, not other police officers, witnesses in the complex, the unarmed teen, along with another suspect, blocked the officer's vehicle from responding to a call by standing in front of it. After words were exchanged, the quote-unquote innocent teen rushed the officer, tackling him back into the driver's seat of the police car. As the unarmed teen was on top of the officer, beating him to where his face has several contusions, and his eye is still swelled shut this morning, the officer went for his gun and fired. I think we all agree that the officer should have let the unarmed teen beat him to death rather than fire the shot because he was a quote-unquote unarmed teen that was looking forward to going to college next week. After the round goes off, the unarmed teen backs out of the car and starts to walk away.
Hold the thought, we'll be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card for free product. Call 518-530-1060. That's 518-530-1060.
Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply won't sell you anything they don't feed their own pets. We sell quality feed for mice to horses, premium pet food, and wild bird seed custom cages and supplies at the best prices in town with a 2% cash discount. Feed your animals quality food now or pay your vet later. Ask about our special of the month for KHNC listeners. That's Walker's Quality Cage and Feed Supply, located at 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. That's 4298 Kipling Street in Wheatridge. 303-424-0305. 303-424-0305.
The two boys actually aggressively attacked the police officer, and the police officer shot this young man, who then left the police car and is walking away. I mean, all these stories are so contradictory, it's so difficult to figure out what really happened. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yes, it's true, and the latest leak that we're commenting on about a supposed friend of Darren Wilson who called into a radio program who only called herself Josie and explained many aspects of the story that we haven't gotten from police or has been backed up by other witness reports to the media is particularly hard to understand and take into context. She says, I think we all agree that the officer should have let the unarmed teen beat him to death rather than fire the shot because he was an unarmed teen that was looking forward to going to college next week. After the first round goes off, the unarmed teen backs out of the car and starts to walk away. The officer, who was just severely assaulted by being punched in the head repeatedly, points his gun at the teen, tells him he's under arrest. The unarmed teen turns, and according to witnesses, again, the witnesses in the complex, the teen starts yelling at the officer, daring him to shoot. He again rushes the officer, at which point the officer, who was just beaten, fires at the unarmed, innocent teen. End quote. Most of the stories also have posted the released police rap sheet. Joel says, here are the problems I have with these leaks. One, why wait over a week after all the violence has gotten out of hand over the perceived injustice to reveal these crucial details? And why through a leaker rather than an official statement where it would have more credibility? Second, if the officer was beaten so severely, the police would have photographed his wounds as proof that Brown had assaulted him. Even if we suppose that they didn't want to show the pictures for fear of revealing his identity, why didn't they at least make the verbal statement that Brown had been severely beaten? This would have gone a long way towards showing that the officer had acted in self-defense. These are important questions which either point to extreme incompetence by the chief or a desire to cover something up by manufacturing crimes that justify the lethal force, an all-too-common practice by corrupt police. I don't know which is true at this point, but the track record of police abuse is now so widespread that there is no way I'm going to trust official police statements without a complete airing of all the facts, something which rarely ever happens nowadays. Well, Dr. Stan, we'll switch gears now to the beheading of James Foley and this new provocation for war. James Green of the UK Telegraph reported that British police are saying that even watching the video posted of ISIS militants killing a journalist can be considered an act of terror, as well as downloading or reposting it. This is incredible. Quote, the MPS, Metropolitan Police Service, Counterterrorism Command, SO15, is investigating the contents of the video that was posted online in relation to the alleged murder of James Foley. We would like to remind the public that viewing, downloading, or disseminating extremist material within the UK may constitute an offense under terrorism legislation, end quote. Joel says, I can't believe the legislation mentions viewing. But this shows the egregious escalation of police interpretation of laws granting them draconian powers under the false threat of terror. As I pointed out recently, Joel says, it appears that the U.S. public, like the rest of the world, had become tired of government parading the Al-Qaeda threat constantly to justify the escalating wars against liberty in the United States. Thus, a new enemy has been funded and created, ISIS, which is busy rampaging through Iraq. The Washington Times, which often exacerbates the Islamic threat based upon the steady drivel of government propaganda, did so again this week by parroting the government's claim about ISIS targeting Americans and the British. All this is based upon the dubious premise of quote-unquote thousands of British Muslims joining ISIS. But how would they know this? And then coming back to wreak havoc at home. This from the Washington Times, quote, Tuesday's horrific videotaped beheading of American photojournalist James Foley was packaged with a new Islamic State posting on social media threatening the United States. Quote, we will drown all of you in blood, end quote. A visibly angered President Obama gave a stern reply Wednesday afternoon, saying in a televised address that the U.S. and its allies will work together to extract this cancer, that is the Islamic State, end quote. Joel says, anytime Obama gets on television and hypocritically announces more war actions, however reticent he plays, you know the globalists are pushing something, and this clearly means another larger war in Iraq and Syria. This may be the backdoor into Syria that I have been anticipating, since the U.S. got stuck with the Kerry-induced chemical weapons dismantling agreement in Syria. The U.S. has had to conjure up another reason to intervene. Building up ISIS as the great new monster is the perfect vehicle, and it could lead from F-18 attacks in Iraq back to Syria to root out ISIS in its home bases, which we helped fund and support. Continuing the Washington Times quote, just hours after Mr. Obama spoke, the White House revealed that the president had authorized a secret military mission this summer to a site in Syria in a bid to free Mr. Foley and other Americans held by the terrorist group. But the hostages were not there. The White House did not reveal exactly when or where in Syria the mission took place, end quote. Joel says, this is probably a typical PR stunt and is very suspicious. Why not reveal the date if it really went down? By refusing to do so, American special ops, who are always compartmentalized, will simply assume some other team did the raid. Without a date, no one can check on what team was doing at what time. America is always a sucker for a hostage rescue attempt, or a phony bin Laden capture kill story, which was laden with falsehoods, the biggest of which is that bin Laden was killed in the raid and his body disposed of in the sea. Bin Laden was long dead, and the raid was a setup and a fraud, probably involving one of his two lookalikes. Continue the White House quote, the Washington Times quote. The White House said earlier this month that the Islamic State is not a threat to Americans, a position deemed, quote-unquote, utter hogwash by Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, which monitors Islamic extremism, Joel inserts, and is a known front for the neocons. Continue the quote. The White House says that the U.S. is not at war with the Islamic State, Mr. Spencer said, but the Islamic State certainly is at war with the U.S. Mr. Spencer said there is ample evidence of the terrorist group, which controls large portions of Iraq and Syria and has committed mass executions, is gearing up for attacks against the U.S., end quote. Joel says, U.S. neocons and duped Christians who have a knee-jerk reactive form of ignorant patriotism keep hyping the Muslim threat, and fail to see the much more sophisticated globalist threat deep within our government, which is spinning up.
We're out of time, Andrew. We're out of time. Talk to you next week at the same time. Bye-bye.
All right, Doug. Thank you.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Griffith Auto Electric salutes the men and women in uniform who are standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's remember them during these trying times. Their efforts abroad and our support at home will help keep America strong. That's from Griffith Auto Electric at 108 Sugar Mill Road in Sterling, who says our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families. They're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community. Call 970-522-0160. That's 970-522-0160.
Did you see the size of that commission?
That certainly was a large commission.
Where's the gold?
It's a very, very big commission.
Where's the gold?
At your typical gold dealer, you get a lot less gold and they get a lot more commission. At Patriot, we provide you with more gold and silver with what we like to call the single-digit markup. At Patriot, you get more gold for less.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, everything is being done to convince the American people of the danger of Islamic extremism. But where do these various extreme groups come from? If you have access to the Internet, go up on the Internet and type in CIA funds ISIS. You'll find this was funded by the CIA, where they were armed, they were financed, they were trained by the CIA a couple of years ago. Same thing is true with Al-Qaeda. Same thing is true with Muslim Brotherhood. We are creating the best enemy money could buy in preparation for the coming war, just like we did with the Viet Cong during the Vietnam War, or we financed the Russians, who financed the North Vietnamese, who financed the Viet Cong, and we maintained a war for almost 10 years against an enemy that we created and funded, and we lost 58,000 men, and nobody's ever told the American people. World War II, the same thing. Certainly 100 American corporations building the weapons and funding the weapons for the Nazis all during World War II. And now they're preparing us for a war with the Muslim world. Get informed, understand, we're not going to be able to change this. They control the media, they control what most people think and believe, but you can, certainly, with your own circle of friends, certainly get the information out, take preparations, so that at least you and your friends will survive. Write to your congressman, get involved in the local political process. Try to get people to run for office who know what's going on, who will stand for the Constitution, and will demand that the criminal element that controls America be exposed. Now, there is a criminal element. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, shame on you. You need to get Brotherhood of Darkness. We go into the background of who these people are and what motivates them. You get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. They control the media. The book is the new media monopoly. Certainly they're poisoning us with all sorts of electrical instruments and the dangerous electricity, a great new 4CD set. Dangerous electricity, you need to get it. You need to understand the danger of Wi-Fi, of your cell phone, of your computer, I said, of these smartphones.